Hello, and thank you again for tuning in to Effective Prayer and Effective Action with Jim Collier. Some of you tuning in, you might say, well, am I tuning in to changing our region through prayer? Absolutely. Same program, same people. Just want to give you our focus in terms of effective prayer and effective action. If you're tuning into the program, podcast, and you're actually coming in through a podcast called Effective Prayer and Effective Action, still the same thing. If you're listening on the radio and you tune into the time slot where Changing Our Region Through Prayer was, and you're hearing it announced as Effective Prayer and Effective Action, same thing. So don't panic. Oh man, God is good. Hallelujah. Well, I trust that everybody tuning in today, you're having a good day, a wonderful day. We have a good program for you today, so I want to get right into it. You are listening to Effective Prayer and Effective Action, and I am Jim Collier, and this program is sponsored by Pray for Our Cities, or just PFOC for short, a nonprofit organization dedicated to effective prayer and effective action and urban transformation through Jesus Christ. If you want to write us, need to write us, you can write us at P.O. Box 1755, Harrisburg, PA, 17105-1755. If you need to call us, you can call us at area code 717-238-5621. If you need to email us, you can email us at PenelCFI, that's PENIELCFI, all one word, at AOL.com. And if you email, put something in the subject line, or it will go into the spam filter. Thank you. This program right here is called Establishing Communities Part 2. Establishing Communities Part 2. And I just want to share a little bit with you. If you listen to the program on Establishing Communities, which is a different terminology for planting churches, I brought up a couple topics and a couple different things, and I just want to share a newspaper article that I saw from the Washington Post just this past weekend, and we'll kind of take it from there. Let me read a verse of scripture to you. Romans 14:1, New Living Translation says, "Accept Christians who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong." Now, I like the way the message says it. It says, welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. And as we get ready to pray, we know that the only way that's going to be done is through relationship. It's got to, you know, it's where the rubber hits the road, so to speak. You know what I mean? If you want to speak into my life, then I need to know you, right, somehow. And if I'm going to speak into your life, we need to know each other somehow. So it's all about relationships. You know, even kingdom work and kingdom business, working together, spreading the gospel, spreading the word, comes along the pathway of relationship. And we'll get into that today. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. You are worthy to be praised. Let your will be done on today's program. We give you honor, praise, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And let me share this article with you. It came out of the Washington Post, Sunday, February 4th, 2007. And it says, reaching out with the word and technology. As area congregations grow, churches build satellite sites and televised sermons. This is coming from the Washington, D.C. area. I live up the road a little piece in the Harrisburg, York, Lancaster, Tri-City area. So this is just down the road a little piece. But it starts out, it says, with 13,000 worshipers, a $93 million campus, and multi-million dollar budget, can McLean, I don't know if you say McLean or McLean Bible Church, the Christian Colossus in Tysus Corner, and I'm just reading this right from the paper, possibly get any bigger? Yes, it can.
The evangelical megachurch, one of the country's largest and fastest growing, is launching an ambitious expansion. It plans to build a spiritual beltway around the D.C. area region by opening 9 satellite locations to bring tens of thousands more into its fold. Through televised broadcasts, congregants at each location will see and hear portions of the same service at the same time. The church is hunting for space in the district and in Prince George's, Montgomery, Loudoun, and Prince William counties, as well as further north in Maryland and southern Virginia. 2 weeks ago, the first satellite church was launched with a regular Monday night service aimed at young adults in leased space at the Roslyn Spectrum after holding 3 preview services there in the fall. McLean is on the vanguard of churches in the Washington area that employ this new growth strategy. Unlike the traditional church growth strategy, and I'm just reading this from the paper now. I don't know if the people who wrote this article are Christians or not, but they said, unlike the traditional church growth strategy where houses of worship spun off or planted independent entities, an increasing number of large churches in the Washington area are growing by opening multiple locations under the same name and considering themselves one church. Now, let me take a break from reading the article. Now, that's very interesting, right? What's taking place? Instead of churches being planted, so to speak, what's happening is that the churches are expanding, but it's still not separate entities or new churches being planted, but it's just satellites of the same church. Then it goes on to say, if successful, senior pastor Lon Solomon told worshipers in a sermon last month, we can keep expanding our impact for the Lord Jesus in this town until we have touched the entire town for Christ. Now, that sounds like a good idea, right? It says, often using technology to beam in worship services from a central location, multi-site churches are spreading their brand to new congregations that are many miles or even several states away. Sometimes the local branches add their own personal touches, such as live music, a local pastor, and on-site religious education. And then it goes on, it says, the culture has changed now, said the Reverend Duran Cloud, founder of the Soul Factory, a Forestville church, who now preaches to his 4,000-member flock via a satellite hookup from a new Soul Factory branch in Atlanta. He has raised $1 million and plans to open sites in North Carolina and Alabama this year. People used to talk on the telephone and meet in person, but now the culture is satisfied with emails and Blackberries, Cloud said. Cloud said, break from the article for a moment. Notice he said the culture is satisfied with emails and Blackberries. Okay, and then let me go back to the article. Cloud said, we as a congregation made a decision that if we are going to embrace people, we must leave the four walls of the church. Nationwide, 1 in 4 megachurches, those with more than 2,000 worshipers, hold services at satellite locations, up from 5% in 2000. So it seems to be a pattern, right? Let me say it again. Nationwide, 1 in 4 megachurches, those with more than 2,000 worshipers, hold services at satellite locations, up from 5% in 2000. So now it's 25%, up from 5% in 2000, so just in the span of 7 years. The number of megachurches with multiple sites is expected to double in the next few years, according to Scott Thuma, a professor of the sociology of religion at Harford Institute. The growth is part of the reality for contemporary churches, say church leaders and church consultants. A break from the article for a moment. Say church leaders and church consultants. Now let me go back to the article. Today's worshipers, particularly those under 40, are more fickle and demanding than previous generations of churchgoers. Now, this is right from the article. No longer satisfied with a lone church organist, a scratchy voice choir, and a few Bible stories for their children, they expect a dynamic preacher, polished worship, services in an array of styles, with slick videos and professional music, along with well-planned religious education. To provide that, say ministers and church growth consultants, churches are spreading their brand rather than funding smaller independent spinoffs that wouldn't be able to afford upscale worship amenities. Multi-site churches have got a common identity. It's just the geography is different, said John Vaughn, a Missouri church growth consultant. Break from the article. Church growth consultant. Okay, back to the article. Pastors who have embraced the multi-site concept say it is akin to franchising their brand. It's kind of like going to Starbucks. You know, the product you're going to get, said Mark Wilkinson, lead pastor of Journeys Crossing, a Gaithersburg-based church that holds its services in movie theaters with a rotating team of ministers. It has two such satellite services and plans 18 more. But skeptics wonder if the multi-site trend is more about bolstering egos than spreading the message. By focusing on spreading their own name and brand rather than assisting the formation of independent churches, mega churches get even bigger and their head pastors become even more famous, said Thuma, who studies the growth of large churches. Clergy who consider this approach really need to reflect on their motive, Thuma said. Now, break from the article. I agree totally. Is this of God? Is it not of God? I don't know. I'm not going to make a judgment on that because I'm not called to make a judgment. But I would say that pastors and leaders who fall into this here really need to examine their hearts and their motives for doing it. And also, I would say they need to examine the health of the people in the congregation that they have before they begin to franchise it out. In other words, why export something that is not healthy? At McLean Bible, which has clashed with neighbors over the thick traffic that clogs area roads on Sunday mornings and earned the ire of Jewish leaders with its campaign to convert Jews to Christianity, church leaders say they are launching their multi-site expansion because less than 3 years after completing their Tyson Corner campus, they have run out of room. Since opening the final phase of the sprawling building on Route 7 in 2004, average attendance has climbed 30% and its 2,400-seat main auditorium is overflowing at Saturday evening and Sunday morning worship services. We've reached our effective capacity in the building, said Mike Hurt, McLean's Bible Director of Community Campus Development. Paying for the expansion isn't expected to strain the budget of the church, which counts among its members many of Washington's elite, including White House officials, members of Congress, Pentagon leaders, and corporate executives. Church leaders expect to have the church's mortgage paid by 2009 and plan to devote $3 million a year to outreach efforts. Now, I want to finish up with this article in all fairness. Hertz said the church plans to beam Solomon's sermons into each location and sermons by the Reverend Todd Phillips to his young adult services to keep the spiritual feeling that might suffer from so much televised preaching. Every venue will also have an on-site pastor, other religious education, and produce the bulk of the worship service customized for each place. Ultimately, the church expects 60,000 worshipers to attend multiple weekend services across the Washington area. In the weeks before the Rosalind Spectrum launch, volunteers handed out 10,000 flyers in the Arlington Metro stop during morning and evening rush hours. On the evening of the service, volunteers clad in orange safety vests stationed themselves at the Metro to guide worshipers to the Spectrum. But after more than 600 people arrived for the first service in the 387-seat Spectrum, a second service was hastily added, while Starbucks coffee and bagels were provided to the worshipers forced to wait. According to an informal survey, said church leaders, about 30% of the attendees were new to McLean Bible. And then it goes on, it says here, Chandine, well, no, I better not name her name. Anyway, This one lady, Arlington Lawyer, said it was her first time at the McLean Bible Service, and going to McLean for service is a bit far for her, but friends who attend McLean have praised it, and she wanted to try it out. During the service last week, Youth Pastor Phillips pleaded with worshipers to fill out cards, letting the church know whether they would consider coming at a later time in order to fit in two services. We don't claim to have everything figured out yet, Hertz said with an air of calm as young worshipers in puffy jackets, long scarves, and boots poured in. Nonetheless, he said, the church is aggressively pursuing space to continue opening more sites. If we find our next spot, we're ready to move. Now, let's just think about this, what we just read. Think about that for a moment. Okay? Now, listen to this right here that we went over the last time on establishing communities. Other terminology for establishing community is planting churches. Now, we said that God is building his church, and we got to be clear on this. Now, the call is for us to work with him, but God is building his church, and he's establishing basic Christian communities, which are built on relationship. It's more of an organic thing than it is just an organizational structured thing. The word community, common unity, is people with a common interest living in a particular area, or in our context, people that kind of have the same DNA. We're really not talking about biology, but they share together, they care together. And in the verse from the message, it says, welcome with open arms, fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. If people are becoming saved, it's a very good possibility that they won't see things the way that you do if you've been saved a little while. But unfortunately, many people who have been saved quite a long period of time, they don't see things the same way either. And so there's always a lot of conflict that seems to go on in congregations that have been around for a while. But that's not necessarily a bad thing, see, because God has called us to learn how to come together, live together, work together, grow together. We're to grow together in Christ. God will lead us into places of obedience to where we will obey him. On the next podcast, probably, I'm going to share what I shared in the congregation this past week about working it out and learning how to work things out together. You know, God's working in us to do that, and we need to learn how to work things out. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. But see, I believe, now, you might say, well, Pastor Jim, is there something wrong with that? Is there something wrong? I'm not going to get into issues of wrong or not. It's just not my style, and it's not the way that I see it. I can say that. And I just don't know how healthy something would be in what they're talking about there. Now, I can see the organizational structure, and I can see what's happening there, but I don't know whether the believers are really being raised up to be strong and solid in the faith and to really learn how to grow together in community and to learn how to reach out to other people in effective ways and bring them into the Christian community, not just an organization. See, I believe a biblical community, they share their lives together within an environment of acceptance. I shared this before. Now, and let me just break this down so you understand what I'm saying when I say acceptance. I mean that there is a willingness to grow together. There's a willingness to grow together, and nobody lives underneath of the illusion that we all have it together. And so we don't have this kind of culture to where we're trying to hide problems, to give an appearance of perfection, but we are growing in Christ and really working out issues and working out problems. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. And let me just say this here. That kind of environment to where this is taking place, where we're growing together in Christ, we're learning to pray for one another, to come alongside one another, learning how to not reject one another just because we don't see things the same way, learning how to value the word in the context of community, to where we begin to line ourselves up with the clear will of God, and we pray for one another, we help one another along. See, that kind of environment does not occur naturally. It happens when somebody's willing to model vulnerability. Somebody's willing to be real. See, people, you know, we looked at all that organizational structure and all that kind of, man, we're going to take the kingdom for the Lord. Yeah, okay. Well, God has a way that he's expanding his kingdom. See, people identify with fellow strugglers, not supermen. So when we confess our sins one to another, we actually help others in their pursuit of spiritual growth. And an environment of acceptance naturally leads to a willingness to be vulnerable. Now, we don't have a lot of time here, and I want to pray, but the reality is that this takes time. It takes time. This is not something that's going to happen overnight. This is not something that we can just organize and structure to have an instant church. This is really not the way that God has designed for his church to grow, his body to grow. Well, you say, Pastor Jim, how did he design it? Well, really, the way that he designed it is for when people get born again, they get saved, they come into the Christian community, they begin to relate to others that are a little further along than them. They see God working in them and through them, the ones who are a little further along. They begin to adopt many of the same practices that are working in the lives of those where it is working. And so they begin to read the word too. They begin to pray too. They begin to become worshipers of God too. They begin to reach out to the widows and the orphans too. They begin to be generous too. And so the community expands. And then that one who is learning that begins to pour that out into someone else. And so there's a continual expansion taking place and growth. Growth and maturity. You might be thinking, well, Pastor Jim, are you anti-growth? Are you anti-megachurch? I'm not anti. No, listen. If a megachurch can pull it off to where they have what I'm talking about here going on in their congregation on a regular basis, then they might be a megachurch in terms of organization, but the life of their congregation is really coming out of one anothering. It's really coming out of sharing and growing together. That's the life of the congregation. And whoever the pastor is or the leaders are, they know where the life of the congregation is. And they might have organizational structure to where they're very large, but they know that if they did not have the life of the congregation, then they would not be healthy. And whether they can pull that off or not, I don't know. I don't see it that way, and I have no desire to do it that way. I see things a little differently. But I pray for my brothers. I pray for my sisters, those who feel that that's what they're called to do, and they feel that that's really God's will. I pray for them. But I see God moving a little differently. Listen, there are challenges to establishing communities, planting churches, establishing communities. And I believe planting churches is the will of God. I believe that's not just a cookie cutter type of thing to where it's. I believe that God raises up leadership within the churches that are being planted. I believe that there's a community that is formed. I believe that they have to be able to establish their own culture, so to speak, because these are people, not robots. And there's different contexts and different areas and different things. You know what I'm saying? Listen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's take that church we just heard about there, that McLean church. Okay, now they got some high power people in there, right? What happens if they establish one of these satellites right there in the ghetto or right there in the inner city? Or are they even interested in doing that? Listen, there are challenges to establishing communities. Each of us is an individual challenged to be part of a larger community. The community itself is challenged to be part of the larger Christian community, which is the body of Christ. And you can think city, region, nation, state, but the challenges are there. What are some of the practical challenges before we pray? Well, we all tend to be strong on opinions. I know as a pastor, man, I'm one of the most opinionated people you want to meet. And I'll confess it openly before you. I confess my faults. Anybody listening to this program any length of time, you know that that's the case. But listen, you're opinionated too. Come on. Listen, we always think we're right. We're resistant to the idea that truth may be revealed in layers and in others. You know, we tend to be argumentative. That's one of the challenges that has to be worked out in community. Also, what the verse said, we tend to be weak in the faith department. We're not actively living in the knowledge of the truth that we already know from the word, but yet we always want more. The challenge now is to live what we know. The tendency is for us to live by our emotions rather than to walk by faith or to walk in trusting God. We tend to live by our emotions. Our emotions guide us more than what we would want to acknowledge and more than what we want. And then also an unwillingness to take risks. You see, only in an atmosphere of love and acceptance can that basic trust be restored. I've come to that conclusion after a number of years. And we got to recognize that all of us have our own history, our own issues to deal with. And that's the reason why in the congregation that we have, we made room for ministering to one another. The term frequently used is inner healing, intercessory prayer. We're learning. We're not there yet totally, but we're learning to be gracious and gentle, to welcome with open arms other believers. Recently, we talked to some people who used to come to our congregation talking about coming back. Hey, come on back. That's fine. Or leave again if you want to. But you know what I mean? We're just going to love one another. Welcome with open arms. We won't jump all over people every time they don't see things the way we see it. Amen. Well, let's get ready to pray here. Establishing communities. That's God's idea. Call it planting churches, whatever you want to call it. But establishing communities is God's idea. Man, come on. I mean, we get technology and we want to rearrange things. Come on, please. My God. My God. Man, you want to see fruitfulness. Then look at a congregation. It might be large, it might be small, but there's fruitfulness coming up out of it and they are reproducing. And that's God's will and that's God's desire. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Lord, we talk about how we tend to be opinionated. And Lord, we're not just saying that, but we really know that we tend to be opinionated. And so right now we just pray, Lord, that we would learn to value and recognize the opinions of others. I pray for McLean Bible Church there in the D.C. area. I just pray for them, Father God, that your will be done in them and through them. I pray, Father God, that the people would have a heart of compassion. I pray, Lord, that what you want to be done will be done. And anything that is not of you, anything, Father God, that is just coming up out of ideas and strategies and things that are more of a corporate model than a godly model. Well, Father God, stop that by all means. Because, Lord, your wealth is people, not money. So, corporations, the bottom line is just money. So, Father God, help us to keep the right focus at all times, at all times, at all times, at all times. And, Father, as a pastor, I pray for pastors right now, those who have a call of God upon their lives, Lord God, to help you shepherd the flock. I pray, Father God, that we would keep our passion strong in you. I pray that we will be worshipers of God. Father, as we challenge others to be worshipers of God, I pray, Father God, that those that you are looking for, that we would be one of those that you find, those who are worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father God, that we would keep our faith simple like a little child. I pray, Father God, that we will weigh strategies and ideas and all these things from consultants and all these other people to see whether they come through the filter of Christ. And God, if it's not of Jesus, if it's not of Christ, let us reject that. Let us reject it. If it doesn't have the smell of Christ, the faith, love, hope, oh my God, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, sweet Jesus. And Lord, I pray for your saints right now. They have a lot on their plate, Father God. They're being bombarded in every direction. They turn on their TV and there's people preaching everywhere in every kind of way. All kind of stuff just can be overwhelming. Father God, I pray that they will keep the main thing, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that they will worship you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Father God, that they will stay before you. And Holy Spirit, they would hear you directing them and guiding them into their purpose more fully, that they will fulfill their purpose. And I pray, Father God, that fear will be broken off of their lives and they will be people of action, people not afraid to take risks, people not afraid to step out and to try new things. And I pray, Father God, that all of us will be fruitful in the things of the Lord. I pray, Father God, that we would all know that it's not about us, but it's all about you. And I pray, Father God, that all of us would have eyes of outreach to see others, to see the lost, to see those struggling, to see the widows, to see the orphans, and be willing to be a part of their lives and to be willing to come alongside and to help them and to present to them a Jesus who loves them incredibly. Oh, man, I started to say ridiculously, a Jesus who just loves incredibly and a Jesus who is for them and not against them. And I pray, Father God, that we would all see this and move in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.